The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, hello, confidants. Ooh, my Holly open, gorgeous confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Dara, and this episode, you guys, this is a really fun one, okay? Because listen to how this worked out. Normally, I'd go into, like, here's this person's accolades, here's, like, the thing we're talking about. But instead, I just want to read you our guest's email that I got from this person, and then we'll go from there. So let's start. I got this email. It was, hello. I won't read the compliments. That feels weird. they listen to the podcast. And they opened the world of polyamory to their lifestyle. I have always been polyam. I just didn't know the language or examples to recognize this until that episode inspired me. Oh, okay. I did read one compliment. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I've learned there are many people in this world who could benefit from knowing that polyamory is a viable relationship model too. Imagine if your partner openly discussed that they are bound to act on other attractions because they believe in their ability to share infinite love, and it has nothing to do with, nor will it take away any love from you. It simply feeds their soul to engage in multi-love. Rather than lie and betray, usually implied, monogamous agreements by having an affair. This type of disclosure would force partners to actually hash out agreements to maintain their relationship, define boundaries, and choose to come together with love rather than complacency rely on monogamous structures to prove love, i.e. marriage. I am currently writing a book, yay, about my personal experience with polyamory because I want to be a role model for others who could stand to know the monogamous norm we are socialized into isn't their only options. Relationships are changing. Younger generations value authenticity and individuality. I know for a fact they are going to help rock polyamory into the mainstream. So long as enough of them are lucky to be examples to be exposed. I am by no means an expert. That's okay. That's why this podcast exists. But I am an advocate for non-monogamy and polyamorous by orientation. I know you and I could have an important conversation about monogamy, but I hope you will just truly discuss more monogamy in the future. I gradually found my identity as polyamorous, but my wife and I decided to open up our relationship over 2 years ago. My wife is a beautiful and kind trans woman, and we have known each other since kindergarten. We have been married for almost 4 years now. I have another partner that has been part of my daily life for 2 years, and he has been pivotal in supporting my own journey during my wife's transition. I have a third partner too, and we just support each other's intellectual and sexual needs as needed. I'm sharing all of this because I know my relationships do not fit into any mono, hetero, gender binary box. And while this can be difficult, it has also been extremely liberating to break free from society's ideals. I want to publish a book, get out of the boxes, and I know that they don't belong into. I'm willing to share more with your experiences. You've inspired me. Compliments, compliments, compliments. This week, we have Jenna Miles. When I read your email, my heart just burst through the fucking moon, out the top of my head. I was like, yes, 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 absolutely. Jenna, thank you so much for A, writing in and listening, and B, coming on to talk about polyamory.
Thank you for reading my email. I was, when I wrote it, I was like, maybe she'll read it, maybe not, but either way, that's awesome. So thank you for getting back in touch with me. I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I told you before we started recording that people always want more information. And I don't think it's because it's like some weird fetishization. While that definitely is out there, I feel like my audience is very like mindful and appreciative of shared experience. So, I've talked about my open relationships on this podcast, numerous other podcasts, YouTube videos, but it's one experience. It's one like pretty traditional hetero version of what openness can look like. And I'm so excited to talk to you about your journey. So I guess I'd like to start with just like, how did this happen?
Well, yeah, no, there's like lots of breadcrumbs that really led me to non-monogamy when I look back on it. But really, like, the first kind of thing that triggered in my mind was your podcast with Jared when you talked about your open relationship. Aww. I can remember like folding my laundry and putting it away and being like, this is so intriguing, but like, I have no idea how I'd be able to fit this into my life. Like, yeah, this is just like so far off. And like, I live in a pretty conservative area. So it's like, I don't have any examples of open relationships like at all. Like, you were really the first kind of first one. Yeah, no, it was so cool. And like, I remember like really liking that podcast and saving it. And then a couple months later, actually it was a couple months later that my wife came out to me as a trans woman. And it was that experience of her coming out to me that really kind of opened up our communication more and like ability to be more vulnerable and authentic with each other. And that really opened up my, me being able to say, this is like, an open relationship is something that is interesting to me. And I kind of want to explore that. Like, what do you think? And it turned out that like she was totally on board too, which was like just the craziest feeling ever. We've been together this long, and like if we would have just said it out loud, you know, like we would have, we were on the same page. But it was just didn't have those examples, and just didn't have like the language to communicate it, or like you feel confident to communicate that.
You know, what you say is so important to touch on, like not having the language, because we are drilled with these cis heteronormative patriarchal relationship models that anything outside of that, you know, even just forget like the gender binary, it feels like new, even though it's been happening since the beginning of time. We genuinely are afraid to express it, because the only way someone could anticipate it in our minds, in our fear-based mind, is they are going to think that they're not good enough. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm not satisfied in this relationship. It's a lot of fear and projection of what the other person will think. And
totally,
we don't often go into it thinking like, what if this works out beyond into my wildest dreams and exactly what I considered.
I have, it's kind of funny, like just an example of just being scared to communicate something that we were totally on the same page about, was the first date that I had outside of my primary relationship. We didn't talk about kind of like rules or like how we felt around kissing until right before he got there. And it was like, the whole time I'm like, I know that I need to bring this up, but like, I'm really scared that she's going to feel that like, my desire to kiss somebody else is taking something away from her. I have this like capacity for kissing, and maybe I'll meet my limit and then have none left for her or something. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought.
No. I mean, it's you bring up a great point too, that it's like,
my story.
Carry on.
That was basically it. Yeah. Like the whole, like I was so scared to bring it up. And then when I did, she was like, of course. Like, of course you should kiss him. Like if it feels right, then do it. And I was like, okay. Like now that it wasn't like, almost like permission, but also just like, just that open communication. Right. And just laying it all out there and being like, okay, this is okay. And
And how gorgeous too, that happened at the same time as like your wife coming out and the transition, because there's a story in my head that wants to imagine that, you know, if someone were in that scenario, that they'd be thinking, oh, well, now I can't, you know, I'm making air quotes, fulfill this one side of your needs, so of course it has to be open. Or, you know, I'm imagining a lot of like gender, like dysphoric fear between
sure.
a partner. Maybe kinda. That's not the truth here, but I imagine that people would think that that would be the case.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that that's probably more in other people's minds than it's really happening mm-hmm. with us because, mm-hmm. I think that like both of these things are like, they're part of each of our identities, I guess. Like she's trans and I'm non-monogamous and she's non-monogamous as well. Mm-hmm. But she's more non-monogamous by like lifestyle where mm-hmm. I'm more non-monogamous by orientation.
Ooh, like, explain really the difference.
Yeah, so lifestyle is more like right now it suits me, like to mm-hmm. maybe I want to have like a swinging experience mm-hmm. or like because my partner is into it or mm-hmm. yeah, like it just works out with life. Mm-hmm. Where like non-monogamous by orientation is like you fully like relate and identify with that ability to share love with more than one person and know that mm-hmm. that's not going to take anything away from anybody else. And mm-hmm. it's just part of who you are.
I think that's a big myth to dispel, right? Like, especially when you're going through a change in your relationship as well, like it, none of those instances have anything to do with taking away. Like it seems very additive to just both your like mental health and life overall wellness.
Oh, totally. Well, it's really it's just really interesting because like I think maybe from an outside perspective, maybe somebody who's not familiar with like an open relationship might see that like, okay, like my partner is going through this transition and mm-hmm. I have another partner, but doesn't she need her support? Like, what's going on here? Like, shouldn't you be with her during this time? And like, of course I am, but I spend other time with my other partner too, or like just conversing, just having that relationship, that connection with him mm-hmm. has really like made me be there more present for my wife. Her name is Sarah. Hi, Sarah. So she's, just made me feel like I'm able to be there for her more like fully present and just like getting that support. My other partner was the first person to know about my wife's transition before we'd come out to anybody else. And he was the first person to know for quite a long time. And it was like so refreshing and needed to be able to just talk about her by her with her name and her pronouns and just know that like somebody else accepted us and that this would be okay. And then it gave me so much more confidence to bring back to Sarah and be like, hey, like, yeah, like this is so cool. Like we can do this. And so it's exactly additive, not taking away.
And like, gosh, you put anything in that spot, right? Like someone transitioning to their authentic self or like someone going through like having kids or changing jobs. Like you could put anything in there that someone could perceive as something stressful or emotionally draining when it's like a quote that comes up to me that's always like, divorce is never a bad thing. Like when people are getting divorced, people are like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And it's like, no, this is a good thing. Like this needs to happen. And I think like adding that partnership into a life is kind of like breaking the myth of that, where you're supposed to only have this bond. There can only be like a masculine and a feminine energy. Mm-hmm. Like I find, and I don't know if you find this in your relationships, but like, I often find masculine energy not from people that identify as male or whatever. Like it is more about like energy exchange and balance than gender anywhere.
Oh yeah, totally. No, I agree with that. Sorry, you sparked an idea that I was going to talk about. What did you just say?
I can rant. Sometimes I, like, when I take my Adderall, I will go on fucking tangents. I think I said,
have
like,
ADHD.
People... Yeah. So, oh, great.
And
it's
I didn't
two
take
of
my
us.
Medication today.
Two of us just bouncing off each other. We got this. I said something about, like, if you're going through a divorce or a change that people assume.
Got it.
See, got it.
So, that's what I was going to say. So, this whole yeah, experience of like finding non-monogamy has really opened my eyes and like kind of changed my perspective on breakups. And like, rather than just because like in life, our needs and the context of our lives change all the time. Yes. So our partner may not be able to fulfill certain needs, or we might not be able to fulfill for them either. I've lost it.
No, I was gonna piggyback the fuck off of this in that, like, I think we believe that one person is supposed to be able to fill every part of our life and desires. And Imagine if you only have one person. Yeah, breaking up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like just being able to, okay. So the way that I approach relationships now is like, or the way that I want to approach relationships, because sometimes that communication part's really hard.
Sure.
But to just be able to like come to a partner and say like, hey, this is what I can provide and this is what's important to me. And like, this is what I have the bandwidth for. Like, do you have the bandwidth for me too? Like, let's connect then and just let it just be what it is. Mm-hmm. And if our lives change down the road, then like, let's come back together and negotiate that. And like, rather than break up, maybe, and like, of course there's some relationships where, yeah, you need to break up and get away from that. But, if it is like a good friendship, like maybe you just need to rearrange or reframe the aspects of the relationship. And like, for example, my other partner, we've been in each other's lives for over 2 years now, and he's gone through a couple of times where he has dated monogamous partners. So we've changed the aspect of our relationship. So like, we've totally taken sex off the table during that time, but like, nothing else really changes about the relationship. The connection's still there. It still keeps up. And then there's still that space for reconnection down the road. And so, yeah, like that really, like, yeah, that fluidity, that flexibility is just really cool. And I guess I have a new perspective on breakups. And it's like, yeah, breakups are good. Like, they could be the start of a new relationship with that same person if you're willing to put in the work to make it work, right?
Yeah. It's so regenerative?
I just hear my own name, Jenna. Regenerative. There we go. Yes.
Yeah, and like, it's going to sound a little woo-woo-y, and so like, stick with me, confidants, on this. But what I'm learning is like, there really is different parts to a relationship that you will become available for and not be available for, right? Like, you can be there emotionally through some things for your person, and then sometimes like, you really need to focus on yourself, or maybe you don't need to be met with a masculine emotion right now. And like, to be able to have that divine, like, feminine safe space somewhere else only makes you more available to show up for that person in other ways. Like, maybe it's physical needs or intelligence, or, you know, even just like partnership in general, like
validation,
being a fucking roommate or something, you know, like just showing up for that person as a partnership. It's changed every single thing, the way that I think about relationships, and the stakes are so lower. Like, the stakes of things that I used to fucking care about in high school, in my early 20s, are so, I mean, I can tell you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like,
it's especially really when you talk about them, right? Like, when you can openly communicate them. Yeah,
exactly. And like, again, you are changing all the time. You are growing and becoming different people all the time. And your hope is that you find someone who's willing to grow with you and not away from you. And I think you can still grow on this path together without, like, exactly what you said. If there is something special there, that friendship at the base level of the relationship, there are exes I look at and I'm like, I wouldn't even be fucking friends with them if I wasn't fucking
fair enough.
They are bad people, but they were good for me as a sexual partner there, right? But it really opens up the conversation to be had about, like, what am I also jealous about or insecure about? And maybe could you talk to any of your experiences, whether it was like you or Sarah, coming to terms with like, realizing I can't provide this for you, and I also don't like that I can't provide that for you, and it makes me sad, or it sucks, but we can get through it.
Yeah. Well, I guess one example that comes to mind is like about Sarah going through her transition, just because she spent a lot of her life kind of like with this front or like this, you know, this facade of
mask,
like who she
was.
Yeah, this mask. She didn't have a lot of authentic, long-lasting friendships that she developed over her life because she just didn't, authentically connect with these people. So I, like, now, like, having gone through, we're still going through the transition, but, like, having gone through it, I want her to have more people in her life that she could call and say, like, oh my God, this person just misgendered me and it was horrible. That'd be great if she had other people to be able to do that. Cause like, I love to do that for her. I'm such I love to support people. Like I love to help people. That's like my job. That's what I do for work too. And like, I love it, but like, yeah, there's a capacity that you can only take so much. So there was a time, like, of course there, like, I, like the jealousy piece, I'm very in control person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like being able to, you know, like let your partner go do something else with somebody else, like let your partner, if they're not a sexually autonomous human being.
But it does feel like a mutual decision. You know, it does need to be. It needs to be consensual.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just like sitting with that though, that like, okay, like, do I feel jealous about this? Like, why do I feel jealous about this? And is it jealousy or is it, like, is this about me or is this about her? Like,
exactly.
So I don't know if word that I've come across in a lot of books that I've been reading about non-monogamy is compersion. Have you heard of that word?
No, I haven't.
So some people define it as like the opposite of jealousy, where it's like feeling happiness for your partner when they're on a date. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's literally, I feel powerful. It's when I feel the most confident. I'm like, yes, go.
Yeah, yes, go do it. Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, so like, that's totally, that's what you're feeling is compersion for that moment and like happy for your partner to be out experiencing these experiences.
Joy.
Like, even though you're not there, like it's still good for them and they're growing and enjoying it and they're gonna come back with this great energy that will benefit you in some way, even if they just like wrote you a note on the mirror or something, like whatever it is, like just some little thing that's like,
there's still like connection is still priority there,
of course. Compersion though, like, okay, so it's tricky though. Like, I don't think it's quite the, like, it's not so simple as just like flipping your switch from like, okay, I feel jealous, but no, I can feel happy. Like, it takes a lot of work to like really unlearn like the mono norm of like, my partner is my partner and we're exclusive with each other and that's it. And we don't share like intimacy with anybody else. Might have lost where I was going.
Nope.
With that.
I am so in agreement of like what you're talking about, where it's not going to be easy at first, right? Like, of course it's going to be scary. And I think it's also different with each partner, which like it brings me to ask, like, how important is the approval or relationship between like you and say Sarah's partner or between like Sarah and like your partner? Because where I've run into a struggle is if my partner's connecting with someone emotionally that I get, and I'm going to say this like woo-woo-y, like bad vibes from, when I find the fear coming up. And, you know, I can sit there and say, is it me or is it really, am I just feeling jealous that he's emotionally connecting with someone else, or am I like relieved? But there is something important too about I hate saying approval because it makes it sound like a process of like approve or deny, but like you want to like that person, right?
Of course. Well, I think, I don't know, maybe you can, like, from your podcast, I think the way that I understand it is, okay, hold on. Let me explain my relationship.
Yes.
So my relationship with my additional partner he's not involved with Sarah. Like, mm-hmm. he's, like, separate. Like, that's, mm-hmm. it's a V relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've heard of that. So, yeah. like, I would be, like, the bottom part mm-hmm. of the V, and then each partner is...
Yes.
Each top. Other end of the V, yeah, and so they don't interact. I'm kind of like the middleman between yeah. them, I guess, if they communicate. But like, I don't know. Like I don't know what I'm trying to answer now.
No, I mean, like, do you want Sarah to like him? Do you care?
Here's where I'm going with this. So my parents divorced when I was seven, and I spent a time going back and forth between their homes, mm-hmm. and like each parent had a totally different culture in their home, mm-hmm. like totally different set of rules, different types of fun, different attachment styles, which is interesting.
that must have been fun as an adolescent to figure out.
Oh, I'm still figuring it out. This is like non-monogamy is like really let me give me more opportunity to explore it and be like, oh, that makes sense and why I'm like this now. But yeah, so my parents. So,
they're
totally different cultures. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't talk to each other. Mm. So I kind of. look at my relationship, like, not that my partners don't hate each other. They just don't talk to each other.
Right.
So I communicated between my parents when I was younger, which was not okay. That was not, they've apologized for that and that's not okay. But, I learned how to be a mediator from that just by nature, just being in that position. And, it just feels so natural for me to be in a relationship or relationships where they're not.
Yeah. It's the V is a good example. And then I guess for your other partner, I don't know if we've introduced him as. Yeah.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I was going to ask, is this right to say then there's a Y, you become the Y because
I'm
you're
like
at the
firework.
Center. Yeah. And then you've got Sarah, your other partner. And then there's this sort of person at the bottom of the Y. Well, making it sound like the bottom makes it sound like they're at the bottom. Not at the bottom, but
no.
they're
but
friends
like,
with
we're
benefits.
We're there for each
situation.
Other too. Yeah, yeah, friends with benefits. Exactly.
And
yeah.
How did that work? How did that how was that introduced? When was that introduced? Again, does it matter that your other partner likes them? Do they know about each other? Like, where's the crossover?
Yeah. So actually, to be honest, I found, like, I connected with both of these partners at the same time, like within about a month of each other, two years ago. And, yeah, the second partner really, or like the other partner, I know, I hate to say like other or like third or like.
Yeah. It makes it seem like other, but in the context of this, we could call it like the top of the Y over here.
This one over here. Yeah. Yeah. But like more like my friends with, he's more like a friends with benefits kind of thing. And, we really only connect when it works for us, and that's it. Like, there's no expectation. There's, like, we've gone long times of period without even just talking, and then just come back together, and it's fine. So, like, yeah, when I'm like, involved with my other partner, when I'm already involved with two partners, that's kind of my capacity, I guess. And that helps me, too, to, like, I guess, keep sexual health as, healthy as possible and safe as possible. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's like a big part of it. I remember like when I went to my gynecologist for my new one for the first time, who I love, who I've been going to for years now. And she like said this statistic. So like casually, she was like, yeah, some people in open relationships have more like vaginal health issues, like more STI. Da, da, da. And I was like, well, hold on. That's such a, an assumption. The truth is like when you are having more physical relationships, if that's what the situation entails,
but it's just a numbers game. That.
Please
I
challenge.
Gotta challenge that.
I'd love to.
Most people in life right now are not in a monogamous relationship or they're in a serial monogamy. So dating consecutive partners back to back with no overlap. Or they're, engaged in some kind of infidelity where there's secrecy and more likely to be, you know, sexual health issues because you're not talking about it. Where, like, I think that polyamory, non-monogamy, there's a lot of intention and thought put into it and a lot of negotiation and communicating that, like, you have to kind of all be on the same page and... I don't know. I think that that's kind of a bit of a myth about open relationship is that it's like, oh, all about the sex and, oh, they must be like promiscuous or whatever. And it's just like, I don't know. Like I've been with the same people for the last 2 years. And I know like, I know people who've been in consecutive more relationships than that in the same amount of time. Not to compare, but like,
no, just, sure. But
just for example. Jeez.
I got a wild headphone going.
Don't want to unplug that.
No. It's such a good point, too, that, like, you know, I think of my promiscuity, if you will, as, like, a single person. I thought was, like, way more dangerous than an open relationship because, again, there's that, like, over-communication. There's that over-sharing. Yeah. It's, like, a consistent and constant conversation, constantly getting checked up. I think it's less likely to... again, maybe be like a mainstream thing because I don't like not all people are aware that this kind of communication between partnerships can exist. And so we are more likely to do things like in secrecy or all or nothing or black and white, which, you know,
That's,
I'm glad you're writing a book about it, or wanting to write a book about it. And
I'm working on it.
I mean, as someone who's literally in this middle of her second manuscript, I painfully understand where you're at. So if you ever want to have like writing sessions, let me know.
Cool.
You can just sit and write while we stare at each other through Zoom.
Focus. Stay focused.
Yes. Especially with us. I feel like we need an accountability partner. So I'm curious too with like the amount of time it takes to be poly. Because like that's the comment I get all the time where it's like, poly can mean many, many partners. It can mean one other. Like, that's why I've always more identified, I guess, as not ethically non-monogamous, just because it's that feels like that container fits my body right now. You know, maybe it will expand or contract. But I think, can you talk a little bit about like the time consumption, because a comment I get all the time is like, I barely have fucking time for one person's needs and wants. How could I possibly fucking emotionally stay available for another?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't have time for anything either. It's like, it's all about your priorities though, right? Like if it's something that gives you purpose or like dopamine, like you're going to prioritize it. So I don't know. It's tricky. I think the most important part is being able to like schedule things with different partners and stick to it, which is sometimes hard. Like it kind of takes away, like, I guess, like that like spontaneity of like sexual fun, I guess. Because it's like, I'm going to see you this day at this time.
Right.
But like that really like makes me more accountable to my partner, because then I can say like, hey, I can be here for you, or like for my other partner, or just because I can be here for you for this amount of time, I'll be gone at this point, you know, like, and then also to say to my other partner, like, I'm going to be there for you at this point, and I will be there. So I think it's scheduling, but like, I can't say that I'm great at that either.
Sure. But I can only imagine for like other, like when you throw kids into the mix, I'm like, how do they do it? They are superhuman, because not only are you now sharing like time and energy with partners, but also children. And then like the scheduling of children and the emotional taxation of children.
Like, but then you got more parental figures to watch after the children, and
like they raised
them to go on a date.
Like they raised us for in tribes for a long time. Was like there were multiple
takes a village to raise a child.
And I think that that's where like my partner keeps his like hopes about children alive, because they kind of die with me. Is that that's the way it was done and intended for, and like successful for a lot of people. And like, I've always wanted to write like a script about like a group of like five people that some are friends and some are lovers, and like how those people could raise a child to be, and like the messiness involved with it. But the one thing that comes to mind always is like, God, someone must have an immaculate schedule. Like, it almost just seems like a rich person's luxury to be able to be that way.
Like super type A, like prepared for everything. I'm not like that, so it's like, I mean, I want to be, but it's just difficult. So it's struggle. I think like open communication, and then apologizing if you have to, and being open about what's important to you too, right? Like I've gotten myself into tricky situations where it's like, maybe I do want to go hang out with one of my other partners, but instead of like I just won't say it. I'll be like, we'll see if it works out. And then but then all of a sudden then I'll get like a text from Sarah, and she'll be like, oh, like let's go do this tonight. And then I'm like, oh crap, now that she already has something in her head about what we're going to do, now that this, okay, now I can't change that. Like, but had I been open about it from the start and say like it would be important for me to go see my other partner, I haven't seen him in this amount of time or whatever, like whatever it is, she would have understood that. And I've been like, cool, I'll see you on Sunday. We'll go do this on Sunday, you know, like whatever it is.
And how did you find like the, you know, people always call it like the rules, and I agree. I hate that word, and I don't think it's smart, but like the boundaries for what you, and I guess Sarah, since she's in the, what did you call it? You called it like the participatory and by lifestyle. Like she's in the lifestyle version.
My lifestyle.
Like how did she find boundaries and was able to communicate them to you, and vice versa?
Well, it's like, it's so interesting us, I think, because from the start, I was very like, we need rules. Like, we need to have rules. I'm such a rule follower. Like, that is just me in general. So I'm like, we need to have rules. So, and one of them off the bat was like, no feelings. Like, this is just originally started as just like a sexual curiosity. So this will just be like, no feelings. And then I learned later on, like, oh yeah, I'm a very relational human being. And it's very hard to like stop like legitimate feelings for other people. And like, why would you? Like, yeah. Let's just make space for them too. But I forget what I was saying again.
No, I get so like on the same page with you. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, wait, yeah, what was my question?
Where are we going? Yeah.
But the boundaries, finding like boundaries and being able to communicate them and how it was received.
Yeah. So like, right off the bat, I was the one who was, like, trying to make all these rules. And actually, it's funny. We were Googling, like, rules of an open relationship. Like, and we couldn't find anything that was, like, legit. Yeah. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's all the rules you got to follow. And I was, like, kind of frustrated by that. And, like, okay, well, let's figure it out then. Yeah, like, no feelings. Like, yeah, like, I don't, like, that, like, use a condom. Like,
Yeah,
that was kind of, like, the... I guess, okay, no, there were a lot more rules from the start.
Sure,
And that, I think, is, like, typical of non-monogamy. Yeah.
Feels like a safety mechanism to start.
Yeah, yeah, dipping just kind your toes. Of experimenting, right? Let's see what we can do, and let's see what feels good and what's important to us, and, yeah, figure out how to make that all work. So, it's evolved. I don't we don't even really have rules anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Like other than like tell each other when we're going to not or like be with another partner just because that's
courtesy
nice of each
like.
Other. Yeah, courtesy.
Yeah. So how do you like something I love that our couples therapist always brings Jared and I together with a question, especially if it's like a more tense couples therapy session is so what made you guys come back together or like how did you find each other again or how did you come back together again through this? And it kind of puts like the issue in the background and I'm like, oh yeah, like why did we come back to each other and why how did we do that? So I guess my question for you is like how do you manage through any struggle times or how do you find connection again?
So I totally had an answer for this and then I kind of thought about something else and then I kind of lost it.
We love our ADHD for that.
Yeah, let me just explain to you what's going on in my
brain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think my wife and I, we are married. So I think what happens in a lot of with a lot of married couples is it's like you're kind of like bound to each other. Like you're supposed to love each other because it's like in writing, you share the last each other's last name. Like it's, you know, you're bound to each other. So no matter what happens, like you'll just fall back on that structural monogamous marriage, right? As like a reason to be together. And I think that non-monogamy can lead to really strong relationships because every day you're choosing to come back to each other. And like, despite the fact that I am married, like that's not part of it. We don't fall back on the structural part of that, our relationship for strength. It's that, like finding ways to just be with each other, ways to connect authentically. It's hard. It can be hard, like, especially like for us, like just having gone through her transition, there were a lot of struggles that came up along the way. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. We've known each other since kindergarten and, she was
crazy.
my second crush ever in life.
Aww.
Like I saved her Valentine's cards. Like,
stop
that
it.
We used to save each other. Yeah.
That is them, so like, fucking cute.
Displayed them at our wedding and stuff.
Oh, and so it is really kind of natural that you guys like soul bonded from an age where it's like a respect almost and not because you're a part of this government paper. It's because you guys have literally soul bonded.
Been through so much, together and like really love each other and choose to be with each other every day because it's this thing that we've built, right? Like any relationship, you've put in time and energy and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, like to make it what it is. And, And to continue any relationship, you have to continue attending to it in that way. Yeah.
I love that that visual of saying, like, it's something you guys built together, because that's where I've seen when things don't work out or have fallen apart, or I've heard from other, you know, friends or whatever, is like, it was at different paces, or it was someone else's once before the other, or there wasn't enough communication, or someone wasn't ready, or whatever. But the idea that like it was something you built together feels very like there's a lot of accountability there. It totally. Can never really be a blame game, because it's two people. Right. Yeah. And it seems so basic, because it's like, duh, ethically non-monogamous situations have to be consensual to literally be ethically non-monogamous. But
exactly, yeah.
Just remembering that, like, is really, really beautiful. So, like, what is your advice to society on the idea of more acceptance towards polyamorous and non-monogamous relationships?
Towards more acceptance. I guess, okay. Just like knowing that it's an option is just really cool. Because I think that what ends up happening is during socialization, we're so, like when we're growing up through adolescence, we're so drilled with monogamy, like around every corner, like this is all there is, kind of, and that's like part, like a milestone in life that you're supposed to meet, and yeah,
it's so limiting to me. I'm like, because what if you get married when you're like 18 and that's you did it, you've done it all, congrats. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like imagine like all of that beautiful connection that you're missing out on from, like, just not,
it's not traditional. And
that
I
you
think
you can stumble upon.
It's again, like, to me, it's always been a conversation where I'm like, why wouldn't I want to share this? And the only times when I feel like it's not a good idea is when Jared and I have instability, and it doesn't necessarily seem, it's like, if I'm going to search for something because I'm not getting it from Jared in a way that's like hurtful or harmful rather than additive, I know I can like clearly see the difference. And I feel like people that are in like a traditional marriage, if you will, feel like they don't even have that option. Like, there is no outlet. There is no way to have emotional space with someone else there. Cause it's deemed cheating or irresponsible or whatever. Whereas, like, again, it all kind of just comes back to, like, the people who are in poly and open relationships in my life are the most, like, heart-centered, authentic, communicative people. And, like, you only ever hear about the horror stories or the bad apples, of course, or, like, the abusive situations, but, or manipulative, but I don't fuck with those people.
No, I know. It's like, there's a lot of stigma and, like, it's like slut shaming too, which is like, come on. Like,
we're in 2022 for fuck's sake.
But yeah, come on. But yeah, I think, just like knowing that it's an option, because what ends up happening with people is, they feel like they need another, connection or something else that they're missing, and they'll still act on it. And it's so much worse to betray and like feel like you've been betrayed by your partner than to just like have them come to you and say, hey, this is what would be important to me, or this is what would like, be helpful for me, and this is what I can bring back to us, and it's not going to take anything away from you. But yeah, it's just, it's so hard though, because like monogamy, like I said, is like drilled into us, like around every corner, like every song is like about a couple, and like, you know,
the movies, the TV shows, like there's no relationships modeled in like a healthy way, except for like some niche indie obscure, like queer show.
So, I read this quote, though. It said, I'm just going to read it.
Yeah.
The idea that monogamy is the most natural or normal relationship setup is a belief system, not a universal truth. So I think that's like, important to remember. But yeah, it's a belief system. Like, that's all it is. It's
that simple. Yeah, it's literally a belief system.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that what's important to people, or what I think would, well, what's important to me is, being able to like check off those relational needs for myself rather than checking off those ideal milestones that society says I need to do. So.
God, that's so beautifully put. Like checking off those mile, like for you and your emotional and like your fulfillment as a human needs rather than societal is so fucking empowering. Like that was epic.
Exactly.
Thank you for saying that.
Like it's about you. Like this is your life. Live it. Don't live it for somebody else. Come on.
Wow. And I guess like wrapping up, because I can't believe we've already been talking for this long. It flew by. I always say that every week, but I'm also like genuinely these fly by for me. But what like
so fun.
What would you say to someone who's listening to this and thinks like I'm understanding and I'm hearing this, but it's never even been a topic of conversation. It's not in our culture. It's not in our area. It's not in my family. It's nowhere that I could even be seen. What do you think is like the first step for them to take as a human being?
So I think like getting to know what you need, like what is important to you. So like if that is like, if you're not sure, like what your relationship structure, like which relationship structure would work best for you, which hold on, let me just say this. The thing about non-monogamy, because there aren't a lot of role models, is like, it feels like you're not doing it right. Right. Like you feel like how is this supposed to look? Like this should look a certain way. And like, no, you're doing it exactly right because there hasn't been examples yet. You are the example.
Yeah.
You're your own example. So, I just think that's important to remember. Just like know what you need. So like, is it monogamy or is it something else? Is it like, it can be whatever it is that you need, just figure it out. Maybe you need to read some books or like do some like deep dives into yourself.
Yes.
And then like say what you need to a partner and like be honest about it. Don't like agree to anything that you know you're not going to be able to like do. And then like, show love and respect because that's important.
That's like the basics of being a good human too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like so important to like even in your podcast about, or like with Jared, you said like he tells you every day how much he loves you and like that he's there for you. And like, that's so important in non-monogamy to acknowledge that. So
I feel really lucky that, you know, and he's evolving all the time, but I feel very lucky, but also like I deserve that from someone. And of it course. Wasn't until I was with someone who like proved to me that I have leveled up all of my standards of just like, you know, maybe if I hadn't have gotten that from him, I would have found it on like TikTok or something. You know, I feel like that somewhere. I've had like a lot of self-actualization there.
But Jenna,
it's like you don't have any social media. You don't have anything to promote except that you're definitely writing a book. Is there any need or ask that we can give you using your goodbye that normally someone's like, follow me here, plug this?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much. I like the only social media I use is I do have an Instagram, but it's like for my nail art.
Oh, so. What? I was going to comment on your nails, but I was like, oh, don't distract me. Don't throw us off, Kelsey.
No, I'm okay.
Don't throw it. Let me see. Show them up to the screen, please. Because obviously look at oh my God.
Oh, hold on.
I love that. Can you share your nail one? Will you?
It's Jen Ashley Nail Art. So
Jen Ashley.
You can put it in the description maybe. JennaSHLEY Nail Art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And also in the description I'll put more like you mentioned some I've heard some really good like TED talks on non-monogamy, so I'm gonna put those too for sure.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, for sure. And there's like, I can send you like a book list too that I've been reading because I've got tons.
I love a book list. Yes, please. Because I definitely would love to read that too. I think we all should listen, even if you're not thinking about it. and opening mm-hmm. it in your relationship. Jenna, this was
and
so cool.
Keep an eye out for the book.
Yes. And when you have it, let's do another episode. When it's out,
sounds
we'll
good.
Promote the
yes.
hell out of it.
For sure. Yes, please. I'd love that. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, confidants. That's it for this week. Definitely check out the links and resources below. Jenna, thank you so much.
Confidants. Thank you, Kelsey.
You can rate this 5 stars on iTunes. If you don't give it 5 stars, please don't give it anything because I'm very sensitive. Speaking of sensitive, merch is still a thing. It's out. Get the book. And we will see you next week. Bye, Jenna.
Bye.
We call it flicking the bean, choking the chicken, giving yourself a hand, auditioning finger puppets. There's a million and one names for the old five-finger shuffle, and yet hundreds of millions of people are unable to sauce the taco due to disability, aging, or illness. That's where we come in, if you'll pardon the phrase. At Bumpin', we've created the world's first accessible sex toy, so people with limited mobility, hand issues, and disabilities can celebrate Palm Sunday just like everyone else. If you agree that everyone deserves sexual pleasure, help us spread the self-love and fund an orgasm for those in need. Give the gift of the big O at getbumpin.com. That's GETBUMPN.com.